Today's program was brought to you by Copper and Kings, pure copper pot-distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. For more information, visit copperandkings.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to Fomet About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And I'm Rachel Jacobs.
Yeah. And we're your co-hosts through this weekly journey of all things fermented.
Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. This is our 150th episode, and we are so thankful to be here. It has been a long and fun journey. And one of the fun things about this journey is all the people we meet and all the things we get to celebrate and the things that are going on around us. And here's Mary.
Oh, with announcements. Going on. Okay, so for those of you in New York City or visiting New York City, New York City Beer Week is coming up. So it launches a week from Friday.
That's right.
February,
the
19th?
The 19th.
Yes. So I'm only going to cover the homebrew related events that aren't sold out. So first is an event that Chris is actually co-producing, hosting with Josh Bernstein and Tyson Ho, called Winter's Grind at Arrogant Swine Part 2. So this is going to be February 27th.
So we're going not in chronological order,
right?
About how they appear, but
no.
First in which one. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm going in computer tab order.
Gotcha. Okay, do it.
Anyway, tickets are $45. It's going to be all you can eat and all you can drink. It's a mix of home brewers like me. I'll have a couple beverages there, probably some tea-based beverages because that's what I've been tinkering with a lot lately, as well as commercial beers and then a whole bunch of sausages.
That's
delicious,
right.
Sausages.
We're very excited about it.
So if you want information on that, you can go to Joshua M. Bernstein. That's Joshua M. Bernstein, BERNSTEIN.com, and find all the more information as well as links to tickets. The second is called Ignite Brooklyn. That's going to happen at Greenpoint Beer and Ale Works, formerly known as Dirk the Norseman. Same place, same everything, just they went to the...
Consolidated their name to...
To just the brewery name. So they're going to host something, I believe it starts at 1.
Yep.
And that's going to, again, be commercial brewers and as well as home brewers. And they are actually still taking signups for home brewers. So I think 12 of us have signed up already. And if you want more information about that, feel free to shoot us an email at fomentaboutit@gmail.com.
And the theme of this one is with all the pro brewers, they are people who are kind of have come out of the local homebrew clubs and are spawned from New York City's burgeoning homebrew scene, which we're excited about.
And then Brewpiffany, you can talk about.
Brewpiffany, we talked about it a while ago. We gave away a bunch of wort to a bunch of local homebrewers, and on February 23rd, we're going to celebrate the results of their fermentations at Kelso Brewing Company. The ticket link will go up, if not late tonight, by end of business day tomorrow on Eventbrite, but it's called Brewpiffany, Brewpiffany. And stay tuned for more news about that. It's going to be $25, 3 hours, 7 to 10 on February 23rd. And that's all I can say right now.
Perfect. And Dave, who's our guest.
Hi.
Hey, you might
welcome
remember
back,
Dave Craco from episode 100 on Heritage.
So you have an event, so go ahead and...
Yeah, and it's a Beer Week event. And on the 25th, we'll be presenting sort of a pre-release of two new breweries and my new distillery. So the event's called Knock Three Times. It's going to be over at Industry City Distillery. And $20 gets you all you can drink of the brand new Lineup Brewing and Wartega Brewing and Arcane Distilling. And we're kind of like a little nano co-op. We're all, you know, beer related. We all met through the Brewminaries, which is one of the clubs. And you can check them both out at Lineup Brewing and Wartega Brewing. And buy tickets on our Facebook page.
Which is?
You can find it on Lineup's Facebook page, actually.
Okay. Cool.
Facebook.com/lineup?
I think so. Probably. Or you can get it at Lineup Distilling. Arcane Distilling. Yes. Three different groups. one place.
Yeah, it's Lineup Brewing, one word.
There you go. Or Arcane Distilling.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, since you're here, now we'd like to introduce our guest today. So, Dave, thanks for joining us again, and we're really excited about what has transpired in the last 50 episodes.
Yeah.
And where you were and where you are now. Let's recap just a little bit about who you are and where you are.
Well, I think it's funny that I show up only every 50 episodes.
Yeah,
so we'll see what I do on episode 200.
Yeah. Me too.
So I guess last time I was on, I talked about the yeast husbandry that I had been working on.
Mm-hmm.
The encapsulated yeast system that I built, and the immobilized yeast reactors that we use to make vodka with over at Industry City Distillery. And, I went into that pretty good. They're still in operation. That's how we make our booze.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, really, that was my focus.
Have you learned a bunch since then, or what?
About yeast husbandry?
Yeah, about yeast husbandry.
I mean, there's so
any,
much.
Any divorces? Any divorces from the?
I mean, yeast are fickle.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a number of different other projects that I've been wanting to get into, and it took a long time to sort of stabilize Industry City so that I can start getting back to what I was really interested in personally.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on this particular project for, I couldn't believe it, but I went to go renew my website address. So it's been over a year. That's a good little marker. So the new project's called Arcane Distilling, and, it came about because I wanted to focus, more on very unusual methods of distillation. So Industry City was all about efficiency and high quality product and making an actually urban sustainable distillery in New York City. So when I say sustainable, I mean like it actually is practical, not just that it has like a trademark S on it.
Right.
And that's done. We did it. Like we have the most energy efficient, smallest footprint, the whole bit. So coming from there, I wanted to focus on specifically on flavors, on qualities, and that really drove me in an entirely different direction. You can't
well, let's
have
talk
one
about
or the
what
other.
What are the Industry City products? Start with that.
So I mean, we make a very unusual vodka and a super unusual product called Technical Reserve, which was much more of my sort of personal project. Or something that, not so much my personal project, but something I was very interested in. It's an azeotropic ethanol. It's awesome. It's used for making all kinds of products they use it over at Booker and Dax. That's like their, secret weapon to making all of those awesome concoctions.
Like infusions and stuff.
So
what is azeotropic?
Azeotropic.
Azeotropic.
So azeotropic means that it can't. It's ethanol that's no longer able to be distilled by simple distillation.
Okay.
So it's.
It's full octane.
Octane's a different chemical.
As the saying.
Yeah. Well, what's really funny is that when you talk about Technical Reserve, people are like, "Oh my god, it's going to make me blind. It's going to kill me." It's like, no, it's going to do the exact opposite. We're talking about ethanol, not alcohol.
Because it's clean.
It's as clean as it can get.
Yep.
Like it cannot be any cleaner, which is why it's a little bit of a mind fuck for people. But once they get past that whole, like, oh, I could just add water to it. Oh, or, okay.
Yeah.
Or anything else.
Yeah.
It becomes an amazing tool, and it has become an amazing tool. And it's sort of that idea that drove me to this new project. So Arcane is all about kind of the weird, the unusual. And really the entire thing is centered around vacuum distillation. So
vacuum distillation 101.
Okay, here you go. Vacuum distillation 101.
And how it differs.
Yeah. So you hear distilling's had a huge boom.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that the method of distillation that they chose was called simple distillation. You heat up a liquid at atmosphere, at normal pressure, and it boils off different chemicals, and then you turn that vapor back into liquid. Simple distillation.
That's usually like what people talk about, like heads and tails. Like that's sure. Very typical simple distillation. You're kind of getting rid of the beginning and the end and keeping them.
Oh no, I'm talking about just purely the physics of it.
Okay.
Simple distillation is
even more basic than
it's. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, heads, hearts, and tails is sort of a. It's a form of speak that developed. It's not really a science per se of distilling. It just sort of like, well, this stuff came off first, we're going to call it the heads, and this stuff came off second, we're going to call it the hearts.
It's kind of like when people were bootlegging and had no labs and just kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
went
like
with...
you'll see YouTube videos of like if you shake it hard, you know, the little bubbles, the little yeah, no, none of that. Mm-hmm. Simple distillation is a actual term. Vacuum distillation isn't that different, honestly. But all kinds of crazy shit happens physically when you reduce pressure. So you could think of like right now we're at standard atmospheric pressure, which is I guess a little hard to imagine. So what I like to have people envision is there's an old unit of measure called inches of mercury, and you can imagine that right now we're at 0 inches of mercury. And if I applied a vacuum and I had a pan of mercury in a glass tube and I applied a vacuum to that glass tube, the strength of the vacuum can be measured in the height that the mercury is pulled up the tube. So it's the polar opposite of pressure. And there's all kinds of units of measure, like torr. Torr is literally millimeters of mercury. Then you have things like millibars and stuff like that. But for terms of explaining to people what vacuum is, I like to use inches of mercury because we're familiar with inches. I prefer millimeters, but America, inches, yay! Mercury is heavy. Like it's a pretty heavy substance. So the amount of force that it takes to suck up, think of it like a metallic milkshake, and you've tried to drink a milkshake through like a standard size straw before, and you know how hard that is.
Or like mm-hmm. drinking bubble tea through a standard size straw.
Well, that's more like it got stuck.
I know. Yeah.
Well, that's because human lungs are not very powerful.
Yeah.
Like we weren't built to really provide that much pressure or that much vacuum. You can actually injure yourself trying to do either. So what's interesting is when you apply vacuum to liquids, their boiling points change. So by removing air pressure, the vapor pressure reduces, not air pressure, the vapor pressure of the liquid reduces and they boil at substantially lower temperatures. And, the goal here is to preserve all the flavor and smell of a delicate compound. And it's like, imagine an herb that you just picked in your garden and you smack it and you smell it, versus an herb that you just picked in your garden and you threw it in a pot of boiling water and then you smell it. They're night and day.
Yeah.
Night and day. And then if you take delicate compounds like beer, and I was a beer drinker before I was ever a distiller. But if you take a delicate compound like beer, I mean, we've all had that, you know, attempt at trying to cook with an IPA. That doesn't work. That just doesn't work. Because you've isomerized the hops. You've basically driven off any of those delicious volatile flavors, and you've isomerized the remaining alpha acids. So you can't actually make delicate flavors using simple distillation. You can't use a pot still. It just doesn't work that way.
Because it basically boils all the aromatics.
Well, not just it boils the aromatics. I mean, you can use vapor distillation. Like that's an old school technique, and it's still used in gin. But you're raising the temperature of these liquids, and especially things like essential oils. And they're going to change.
You're ultimately changing the compounds.
You're either driving them off or changing the compounds themselves.
Yeah. So it becomes sort of this game of how low can you go?
And that was the question I was going to bring up. How substantially lower than the typical 212 degrees Fahrenheit that we think of as boiling?
Can you still be distilled? Okay.
We are in America.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. So what's interesting is that vacuum distillation exists in commercial distilling. Like, it's very efficient. It's very effective. But not so much in what's called the medium vacuum scale. So if we are to go back to inches of mercury, low vacuum, which is very easy to achieve, is between about 0 and 28 inches of mercury. That's low vacuum. And to just illustrate that, at 28 inches of mercury vacuum, you're boiling water, let me think in Fahrenheit, hold on a second. About 86, 90 degrees Fahrenheit, you're boiling water.
That's crazy.
Instead of 212. My goal for this project, though, was to go lower. I wanted it substantially lower. I wanted it to be like a warm day.
Right.
Your beer doesn't change that much on a warm day. So I ran into this technological problem that's very expensive. It's easy to achieve low vacuum. It's hard to achieve what's called medium vacuum. I'm not even talk about high vacuum, ultra high vacuum, and then there's absolute vacuum. We're not even going to go there. But that one difference of inch, like from one inch to the next, that's an entirely different range of materials. That's an entirely different range of technological prowess. And that's why I haven't been here. Like, we started talking about this like a year ago.
We tasted some early batches.
And that was low vacuum.
Yeah.
And that was all low vacuum. So I brought a couple samples here today of the new batch. And
what are we going to start with? Because we're actually going to take a break. So
okay.
Dave's going to pour us some of this over the break. Yeah.
So we're actually going to start with an American Pale Ale that was made by Robert Sherrill. Robert actually has a podcast, Brew to Share.
Yeah.
Yep. Which we've both been on.
Oh, there you go. Well, so he made me an American Pale Ale, and it was then dry hopped with a single ounce of Amarillo.
Awesome.
Nice.
In 5 gallons, so not much.
Right. Yeah. And on that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
For men about it.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, the executive producer of Heritage Radio Network, also the host of Full Service Radio, and I want to talk to you about brandy. I was lucky enough to visit Louisville, and we all know Kentucky is whiskey territory. However, the best thing I had to drink was brandy. I got to visit Copper and King's Distillery, and they make pure copper pot distilled American brandy aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels, matured with rock and roll. That's right. Sonic Aging. They're playing music to the barrels. The stuff is double distilled, non-chill filtered, unadulterated by bois, sugar, or caramel color. And this stuff is feisty, rambunctious, with a long, smooth finish. The stuff isn't made exactly in the style of an international brandy or a cognac. It's more along the lines of an American whiskey. I can really be honest here and tell you, I'm not just reading you an ad, I'm giving you a tip. American brandy, you're not seeing it everywhere. Copper and Kings is doing it incredibly well, and they're cool people. The distillery is full of incredible art. Like I said, they're playing rock and roll to the barrels. So again, Copper and Kings, pure copper, pot distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. That's copperandkings.com. Drink it neat, put it in a cocktail, sub it for your brown spirits, experiment, have fun, get funky. This stuff is awesome.
Welcome back to Ferment About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. This is episode 150. We're here with Dave Krako of Arcane Distilling, and we are really fucking excited to have you here. And this, you just poured us Robert Sherrill's Pale Ale.
Yeah.
Dry hopped with Amarillo, distilled.
Yeah.
And that Amarillo and the hop character.
And it was only dry hopped with an ounce of Amarillo.
An ounce.
Amarillo in 5 gallons.
28 grams.
So this is like smelling a very fresh pale ale, basically.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
So you diluted this a little bit. You poured us
right,
a teeny bit and then diluted it to bring out...
Right. I mean, I always distill my my products to between like 42 and 47% alcohol. The higher the alcohol content, the longer they last. You'll also notice that all the products are in brown bottles. Believe it or not, they skunk.
Yeah. Well, there's... Well, because if you're...
It's. I mean, there's...
Probably
yeah.
preserving all yeah. those compounds that can skunk, right?
Not all of them. Just enough, though. Like, there was a noticeable change. It was kind of creepy.
With just vacuum distilling.
Yeah.
So, you were kind enough to welcome the Kelso crew to your place to do one of these experiments.
Yeah, we played around with
and
it once.
That was really, really awesome. And, you know, we talked earlier in the first half about heads, tails, hearts. But when we rotovapped... There were different sections that
and that was the old equipment. That was just that tiny little baby rotovap.
So it changed from that.
Oh yeah, it's a huge change. The new system is a what you would call a pilot system. It's not big. It's 22 liters. It's very small. But pilot system is designed as a sort of a scale up from a prototype, and from there you go to production. So the new system, I named it Micro, and Micro is what's called a kilo scale, chemical reactor / distillation unit. And I assembled it from all kinds of crazy parts over about 11 months. So these parts are not cheap, and they're not common, and I had to do it all on my own budget, so that's why
right.
it took so long.
Sure.
A lot of the parts I had to make myself and all that good stuff. But I want to talk a little bit about the beer whiskey itself. So, I started Arcane, and the number one thing I want to make was beer whiskey. And there's a couple reasons for that. One, all of my projects, I feel that they need to have sort of a core ethos. And what I realized, especially as I got back into the homebrewing scene, because I'd been so focused on Industry City for a long time, is that like homebrewers are one of the best assets that we have in New York City. Like, the amount of creativity we have here is insane. Like, the amount of just like the applicants to the Homebrew Alley last year alone, insane. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make a whiskey for that. So this is Lone Wolf. Lone Wolf is actually a whiskey program. You can actually go to arcanedistilling.com and apply, and I will give you grain, you will make a beer, you'll bring it back, and we'll make a whiskey. And it's legal for sale. This is not like, it's not bootleg, not moonshine. The way it works is that you use New York State grain that I've procured. You make the beer of your choice. And then we distill it into whiskey. And I opened it up to my brew club, and I've got a whole bunch of people that are brewing right now. And I think I'm just about ready to open it up to other folks, too. So I'm really excited. We got a guy doing an Imperial Saison. We've got a smoked porter. Not to say that I won't do commercial beers as well. Like commercial, I mean like Finback, another half, you know, right. Kelso.
Right.
I'm really excited about the variety to be found in the homebrew scene. For instance, like I have right here, I have like the ultimate counterpoint to Robert Sherrill's beer, which is Brett Taylor's barrel aged sour brown, and this has no hops, and it's a blended sour.
How much should I dilute?
This one's good to go.
Okay. What's the ABV on this?
About 35.
Okay. That is very.
Oh my
very
god!
Cool.
This smells. Like an amazing brown sour, like
yeah, it's
holy cow.
So the really awesome thing about this is that Brett gave me this because he wasn't happy with it. It had too much of an Acetobacter quality to it, and so I had a theory that if I kept the temperatures low enough, I could actually distill it off of the acetic acid, and it worked. What was left in the boiler was hilarious.
This is kind of like,
is there any wood?
Rodenbach in a
right.
whiskey.
It's
like
it's
I
pretty,
don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's yeah, a it smells amazing whiskey. And tastes amazing. Like,
so I mean,
this is crazy.
It's pretty. It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's just if you smell it, it smells
it's so
like
good.
The floral nature of it.
So yeah, there's a lot of layers in the aroma and the flavor as well.
Oh yeah, and it's a very different way of looking at whiskey. People are like. Oh, so now you're going to put it in oak, right? And I'm like, hell no. Hell no. Like, why would I do that? Like, there's nothing in there to be changed by the oak. Like, that chemical process won't occur. Right. Like, I don't have enough volatile acidity. I don't have any of those phenols. They don't exist. So it's like when somebody asked me, well, you know, don't you have all that bad stuff? The stuff that makes you go blind and all that? I was like, when was the last time you saw somebody spit out part of their beer? Because, you know, that part of the beer is going to make them go blind.
Right.
And to be fair, vacuum distillation is incredibly rare in the world of whiskey because it's expensive. It's annoying. It's not something you can, you know, go get yourself a pot still and done make some stuff.
So by annoying, for the same amount of work, what is the percentage of yield compared to a
higher, much higher, because you actually get a bonus effect. That's a bad way of putting it, but you actually have a more efficient distillation process under vacuum. But the control mechanisms required, it's not a matter of like, oh, I'm going to make it boil at this temperature. And what you have to start saying is, I'm going to reduce the pressure so that it boils at this temperature.
Right.
And at that point, you can try heating it up as high as you want. It will not boil at a higher temperature. You're just feeding it more energy, and you create more vapor. And if you don't actually understand the capabilities of your system, you can actually get into some pretty nasty trouble quickly. So it's why I'm starting with a kilo size prototype, pilot system. Eventually, I'd love to build a larger system, but, you know... See what we do with this one first.
So let's talk about, because you brought, so how many different whiskeys did you bring?
I brought three.
Okay.
I brought three. The other one that I have is a double IPA from Luke Frazier, who's another Brewminary.
Then let's talk about what beers have worked best. I mean, it sounds like a lot of them work really well. And is there anything that hasn't?
Sure. I would say that hop characteristics... With this method.
This aroma is amazing. Oh my god.
This is a triple.
I mean, this
IPA,
is like being
man.
Back in Yakima Valley in the yeah. hop processing. Yeah.
Well, I guess
shed.
In the hop extract.
Yes.
I guess if you think about it, this is like an octuple IPA.
Octuple.
Because, you know, it's 44.7% alcohol. But it's not about the alcohol. And this is another thing that I've been trying to explain to people. It's like you're drinking six sips of beer at the same time. So it's not just the alcohol content, it's all the flavor that comes with it. And you, that's why I got so stuck on the vacuum distillation process. I want all of it. I want all of the flavors. And I want them all preserved. So the lower I can go, the lower the temperature I can go. None of this is isomerized. Right. Like this, that's why it smells like a dry hopped beer, because it is.
Or the hop. It's, I'm telling you, it smells exactly like the hop baling shed at
dairy. I mean,
yeah,
at the hop farm.
So it's going to be really interesting. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to people submitting ideas of what they want to make. I'm doing one with Jason Saylor. Going to do his baby barley wine. And that's coming out really interesting. There's no hops in there either. All you get is this juicy grain flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then actually, I was drinking it with the prototype with a friend, and they're like, "Oh my god, this tastes exactly like Jason's beer." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Well, that is the point." You know, we're not really making a different. It's not that we want to make whiskey. We want to make beer whiskey, which was interesting to talk about with the TTB. They were just like, "You can't say beer and whiskey." It's like, okay, then I won't. We're just going to call it malt whiskey, because that's what it is.
Right. So what hasn't worked?
It's not so much what hasn't worked. It's almost like what isn't worth it. So things like pale ales that don't have a lot of malt character. I'm not like things like
lagers.
Wait,
malt or hop?
Malt.
Malt, okay.
Malt, like pale ales that weren't done in a way that the malt character came forward. Like, I wouldn't want to do an American pale ale again if, like, Robert used a lot of malt in this. And New York State malt doesn't tend to convert as efficiently, as effectively. Not anymore. Like, I've had some samples from Valley Malt that were really nice. A New York craft malt that were really nice. And but with this batch, like, he put a lot of malt in that, so that came forward a lot, and it was delicious. And originally I thought, like, sours, that's going to be a problem, that's going to be nasty. And then I realized that if I was actually able to separate out the acidity from the rest of the flavors, then it's not a problem. I'm super excited to do more sours. Also, Brett makes amazing beer.
Yeah. Brett does. And so other yeast-forward beers have been successful, though?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing that Imperial Saison.
Yeah.
That's going to be really interesting. You need to really be into beer to like something like this. This is essentially is a good word. This is beer essentials.
Right.
And, you know, it's not going to be a cheap product, because you're essentially... got to stop saying essentially.
That's right. It's the name of the show. Beer Essentials.
You're talking about having, you know, $20 worth of beer in a bottle, just straight up. Yeah. So, I mean, by mash bill, this might be the most expensive beer ever made. You know, there are some other beer whiskeys out there. There are. Mm-hmm. You know,
and like, I've had some hopped spirits.
Oh, yeah, it's hopped spirits. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. A friend of mine was like, "I just tried this hop whiskey, and it's just..." and it's interesting to talk to people about what they expected the hop whiskey to taste like.
Right.
And they were not prepared for that, which has been really interesting.
Yeah, it's very... The ones I've had are completely different from anything that you've brought us.
They can work, but they're more assertive and they're not balanced like this. This has the whole picture. Like, each one of these was something whole before it even was distilled.
Plus, these are incredibly easy to drink. Like,
yeah, they're a little spooky like that. A little spooky like that. And also, because I came from the yeast background, of course, I'm all about, you know, the esters and phenols created by the yeast, and that's what I wanted in my whiskey. It's why I can't wait to do like Imperial smoked porters. I did one last year. I did one from Finback, and I did one from Other Half. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were single growler samples done up in a prototype. But I was just blown away. Like, forget Lafroy in terms of that type of smokiness, that acrid sort of smokiness. This was like...
that's a peat smokiness.
Yeah. But when I say smokiness in a whiskey, that's generally where people go.
Exactly, yeah.
This is more like amazing pipe tobacco. Just the smell of the pipe tobacco. Not even on fire. but pipe tobacco. And super luscious with the chocolatey notes. So I'm looking forward to getting into those again.
So, and where are these on the market now?
So the other thing is the way that I plan on bringing these to market. It's going to be a little unusual. You can only buy them at either my distillery, which is in Sunset Park, and or at the brewery that made them.
Okay.
So you're not going to find them in stores. You're not really going to. There's only going to be about 15 bottles made per batch, at least for the prototype.
And that starts with just for us. How much beer?
Five gallons.
15 bottles for
5 gallons. Gotcha. Roughly about 15 gallons.
And the size of the bottles?
375.
Gotcha.
375s. It's you'd be surprised how hard it is to find brown bottles in correct sizes for whiskey. Everybody wants clear bottles, like ornate clear bottles. And I'm like, hey, do you have a brown bottle? And they're like, why would you want a brown bottle? It's like, because my contents are fragile. It's like, you know, what are you going to do?
And you have, so let's talk about, so you're located in Industry City?
Sunset Park. Yeah.
But in the Industry City complex.
Sunset Park.
Easily accessible from, what is that, the NNR train?
Yeah, NRD. We're right on the water. It's great.
That's also where our friends Ends Meet.
Oh, yeah.
It's located.
Yeah, love those guys.
In Smorgasburg on the weekend.
Yeah, Ends Meet's, you know.
A little bit. There's a ton of other
There's a lot of folks over in Sunset Park.
The season of Meat Club ends soon. I'm sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're good folks.
It'll be around
again.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm looking forward to just, and this is just starting up. These aren't even like finalized labels, as you can tell.
Right.
I do like them, though. I mean, I know they have a good vibe.
They have a good vibe. Well, I mean, this is the one I'm working on right now. I'm looking forward to that.
It looks great on radio.
I mean, a big part of the label was I want the brewer to be able to write notes. Like, I want you to write whatever the heck you want. As per TTB regulation.
Right, yes.
You cannot say brewer, beer, or brewing. And, you know, okay. You know, you can say triple IPA all you want. You cannot say
beer,
which is hilarious.
But you're allowed to say ale.
No, ale. Like, you're going to have to, like...
Yeah. Barley-based beverage.
Yeah,
barley-based beverage. Not ale.
Yeah,
no. Yeah. It's, you know what? I had a very nice conversation with the TTB. They sort of straightened it all out for me. I get it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So where can people find out more? You have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Arcane Distilling.
So yeah, it's Arcane Distilling and arcanedistilling.com. And you can find me on Instagram at @arcane_NYC. And really the Instagram is probably if you want to see what's going on, that's the way. I sort of have a no holds barred approach. Like, there's pictures of all the machinery. There's no secrets. You'll see how small the operation is. It's 280 square feet. Mm-hmm. That's actually might be smaller than that, but it's small. And you'll see, you know, what went into it. There's, you know, the building of this and the creation of that. And if you have any questions, you know, you could just toss me a line, dave@arcanedistilling.com.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Awesome. And when can we start purchasing your product?
Yeah. I'm hoping, again, because it's such limited quantity, and I'm still waiting for the beers to finish. I just started the Lone Wolf program, and it's you have to give a whiskey a name and, you know, to sell it. So I asked, we did a poll. You remember the poll we did back
in the day? There were multiple polls.
There were multiple polls, and the winner was Lone Wolf. So hopefully Lone Wolf will be for sale. I think actually Jason's beer might be the first for sale.
Awesome. So like in a month, maybe a month or so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, you know, the only place to see it sort of is coming to our pre-launch on February 25th.
And where can we get tickets to that again?
You can get it on, if you go to Arcane Distilling, the Facebook page for Arcane Distilling, there's a link there.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on.
Guest number 150.
Sharing these delightful beverages. So next week, I'm going to be out of town, but Rachel and Chris will be co-hosting with Cheryl Passwater.
That's
and
right.
You guys are going to talk about all kinds of winter ferments.
Winter ferments.
I might call in for a little bit. I'm going to be in Orlando at a work.
It will
maybe
be
we'll
suspicious.
Actually have winter by then.
The line will suspiciously be busy.
Hey, it was flurrying today.
Yeah. Sleeting.
It was.
Yeah. Sideways.
And thank you, Liz Smith. Thank you, Heritage Radio Network.
And thanks to all of you for listening.
For Men About It.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.